Acts chapter 2. We're going to begin in verse 41 and read verses 41 and 42 of Acts chapter 2. This is at Pentecost where the Spirit of God has been poured out and Peter has been preaching, and 3,000 people have been saved. And this is what it says. And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, I'm reminded this morning of just how frail I am. And Lord, how my words mean nothing, Lord, unless your Spirit quickens people's hearts. So, Father, it is my prayer that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would plant this word in each heart and cause it to bear fruit. That you would stir many men and women and children today, Lord, to study the Word of God for themselves. That we would be a people that are ever growing in our knowledge of you and of your word. Father, that you would break down our pride, Lord, the pride that keeps us ignorant of your ways. That you would expose, Lord, our need to study your word. And you'd expose how little we do know of you. And Father, for those who do not know you at all, Father, I'd ask that today you would draw them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That, Lord, you would come to them and cause them to seek you and find you. Speak to our hearts this morning, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. For those of you who haven't been with us, we took a couple breaks here for homecoming, Father's Day, and other things. But what we've been looking at is we've been looking at what the early church is supposed was and what our church is supposed to be today. And one of the things that we looked at is that the church is not this morning. This is a gathering of the church. But the church is really the born-again, called-out people of God. The church is composed of the regenerate, saved people of God. And church is not what we do for an hour or two on Sunday. Church is who we are. We are the called-out people of God. And we've spent some time, we looked at church music, and we looked at the Lord's Day gathering, which is what this is, a gathering of the church. But what we want to look at this morning is we want to go back and look at what are we supposed to be every other moment of the day besides for the Lord's Day and just this gathering. What are we supposed to do when we go home? What are we supposed to do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? What are we supposed to be? And Acts 2 gives us a very vivid picture. In fact, so much of Acts 2 is such a description of who the people were outside of the Lord's Day gathering that you can see that the church is more about who you are than what you do on Sunday morning. It's about what you are every other moment of your life. Here we find, and we have to keep the context here, the people that Peter preached to are Jews. They are not Jews in the way we think of it in America, but these are Jews who are Orthodox, deeply involved in the Old Testament scripture, revere, memorize, read, and teach, and try to obey the law of Moses. These are people who know their Bibles, so they think, inside and outside, and because they know their Bibles, so they think, so well, they crucified Jesus Christ. These were the very people that cried out, "Away with him, we want Barabbas, crucify him." And they did this because they saw him to be breaking the Word of God. They saw Jesus to be a blasphemer. They saw Jesus to be one who was violating the law of God, and because of that, worthy of death. And now Peter comes and preaches with power, and these 3,000 people go, "Wait a minute. We missed it. We missed the boat. We were so ignorant of the Bible that we crucified our Messiah." Now, I want you to think this through. These are people who memorize the Scripture. These are people who know the Bible inside and outside, and all of a sudden, in one moment, they realize they don't know anything about the Bible because they missed the whole point. And they rejected the central point of the Word of God, and that is Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So, naturally, what do you think happens as soon as they're born again? They go back and they begin to study the Bible again. And notice what it says in verse 42. It says, they continued steadfastly. The idea of continuing steadfastly means it's a continuous. Every free moment they get, they are listening to the apostles' doctrine, that which will become the New Testament. They are constantly, like the Bereans, searching Scripture. They are exactly like Peter would describe Christians. What does he say about newborn babes? They desire the milk of the Word. They cannot get enough of Scripture. And so they are continuously, all the time, studying the Word of God. That is the very first mark of a true believer in Jesus Christ, as they are insatiably hungry for the Word of God. And I want you to notice something, though. Who is it that's studying the Bible? All those who profess faith in Jesus Christ. It's not just the men. You see, a lot of times ladies say, well, I got a godly husband, I'll just listen to him. No, you better open the Word of God and study it for yourself. A lot of times children say, well, I got godly parents, I'll just obey them. You know, that's what got the Jews in the problem to begin with. They followed the vain traditions of their fathers, and their fathers were wrong. You need to study the Word of God for yourself. You see, what this teaches us is that every believer in Jesus Christ is supposed to be a theologian. A theologian is someone who studies doctrine. You say, oh, that's why we send preachers off to seminary. No, that's why you have the Bible in your own language, in your own hands, so that you can study it for yourself. I remember a friend of mine who went off to seminary, and he was going, I think, to get his doctorate. And an old man in the church who was very wealthy came up and he said this, I will pay for your seminary education personally on one condition, and that is that you come back to this church and teach me every single thing you learn about God's Word. Why? Because every believer is to study the apostles' doctrine. You see, every one of you is to know the Bible inside and outside. Every single one of you. This is every believer. This is not just the young ones. This is the old ones. This is just not the males, this is the females. This is not just the married, this is the divorced. This is the single, this is the widowed. This is every single one who professes the name of Jesus Christ is continually studying the Word of God. Every believer in Jesus Christ is to be a theologian. Every single believer in Jesus Christ is to know the Word of God and study the Word of God. Why? Let me ask you a simple question. You say, I already know the Bible. So did these Jews 5 minutes ago, before they heard Peter preach. Well, I know I'm right. So were these Jews before they heard Peter preach. And in 5 minutes, they learned everything they'd ever been taught by their mother, their grandmother, their father, their grandfather, their great-grandfather, their church, their entire lives was wrong. Oh, but not me. Go with me to the book of Hosea. Hosea is back there in the minor prophets, the end of the major prophets, going to the minor prophets. You find Ezekiel, Daniel, and then goes Hosea. Hosea chapter 4. You see, one of the things that continuously amazes me when we talk about our society and we talk about churches is everybody knows that this is not the way it's supposed to be. You know, with the way our country is, so many people who profess the name of Christ are very upset. They don't like what's going on. They don't like what the Supreme Court did. They don't like what this law is. They don't like this. They don't like that. All the churches are falling apart. There's church splits. There's church fights. There's all of these things. All the young people are forgetting the faith. My grandchildren don't even go to church anywhere. My children don't go to church anywhere. And nobody ever stops and asks one question. Why? Why is our society here? Why are the churches falling apart? Why are people not getting saved? Why are children walking away from the faith? Why do grandchildren walk away from the faith? Why? God gives an answer in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Notice what he says. My people are destroyed. Okay, why is everything falling apart? God tells us. For lack of knowledge. Let me put it to you in good Southern. Why is everything falling apart? Because we are ignorant. We are ignorant. Now, I know you say, oh, yeah, you're right. Everybody else is ignorant. No, I said we. That includes you and that includes me. Why is everything in our society and everything in our churches and everything in our families the way they are? because we don't know the Bible. And I can prove to you that you don't know the Bible. We're talking to three people. And it's you, you, and you. Okay? The you, right now, sitting in the pew. The you, 10 years ago. And the you, 10 years from now. Let me ask you this question. How many of you sitting here today would say, you know, I know the Bible better than your average Joe, and I know the Bible pretty well? Okay, we'd all do that. You know what? People that don't even go to church think that. Everyone in our society, they know what Jesus would say. You know, we get mad at Jimmy Carter. I don't know if you saw what Jimmy Carter said. Well, he said, you know, Jesus would have supported same-sex marriage. And they asked him, why? He said, well, I don't have a Bible verse to show it. Go, oh, Jimmy Carter, what are you thinking? That's your average Baptist. Jesus wouldn't do that. Why? Well, I can't give you a Bible verse for it, but you see, everybody, including our president, our senators, everybody, they know what the Bible says better than your average Joe. Now, let me ask you this. If I was to talk to the you 10 years ago, do you today know more of the Bible than you did 10 years ago? Yes. If I was to ask you 10 years ago, how well do you know the Bible? You say the exact same thing you say today. I know it pretty well. If I was to ask you, how many false doctrines do you believe? How many lies have you swallowed? How many errors are there in your theology? You would say, none. I can recognize error. Well, let me ask you this. Do you believe the same thing today you believed 10 years ago? Oh, no, man, that me 10 years ago. They didn't know what they're talking about. Well, let's go ask the you 10 years from now about the you today. And you know what he'll say? Me 10 years ago knew nothing compared to what I know today. You see, this hit me when I was in college because I thought I knew the Bible really well. And then I learned a couple things and I went, wait a minute. I thought I knew the Bible really well 2 years ago, and now I know the Bible 10 times better than I knew it 2 years ago. What am I going to say about me today 2 years from now? And that is, I don't know the Bible very well. That's just a reality. And we didn't bring anybody else in. We just talked to you. Because the reality is, we are arrogant, and that's what keeps us ignorant. Let me prove it to you. I hate talking about politics. Let's talk about politics for a minute. How many of y'all have ever seen something taking place and said, that's unconstitutional? When was the last time you read the Constitution? The reality is, you don't know what the Constitution says. There's a verse in Psalm 50. Turn with me, Psalm 50. Keep your finger in Hosea 4. We're going to come back to this. Psalm 50 in verse 12. I want to show you something. I'm sorry, not verse 12. Psalm 50 and verse 21. Psalm 50, verse 21. This is God speaking. This is what he says. These things have you done, and I kept silent. Now notice what he says next. You thought that I was altogether such a one as yourself. Notice what God says. You thought I was like you. Now, go back to Hosea 4, and let me ask this question. Why does Jimmy Carter believe that Jesus would support same-sex marriage? Because Jimmy Carter supports same-sex marriage. Why do you believe that God believes what you think he believes? Because you believe it and you think you're God. Doesn't Scripture say my ways are not your ways? It doesn't even go so far as to say it has never even entered into the mind of man. Oh, except your mind. I'm sorry, I forgot. See, the reality is the reason we're ignorant is we're arrogant. I've talked with people before. Say, well, the Bible says, I know what the Bible says. Well, then you'd know that it says that. No, it doesn't say that. Well, why don't we open and read? I don't need to read it. I know what it says. When was the last time you made a comment on a theological issue and you'd actually studied it for years? If you were not allowed to speak to any verse of the Bible, until you had studied that verse for 5 hours, how many verses of Scripture could you actually talk about? See, I remember a friend of mine in college had a really phenomenal Old Testament professor, and the Old Testament professor had a peculiar belief. I don't agree with the professor, but my friend didn't agree with the professor and went so far as to reject everything the professor said. Because that professor was so stupid to believe that, And I remember thinking to myself, that professor has studied it in Hebrew longer than you've spoken English. Think about that for a minute. This man has studied that doctrinal issue longer than you've been alive. But you know what we do? We say, they're wrong! No, you're arrogant. Study the Word of God. You know what I found when I actually began to read about the issues that I debated? I didn't know what I was talking about. I could begin to name off hot button issues that everybody has an opinion on. You know what the vast majority of people? They have no idea what they're talking about. You know why? Because they've never studied it. And you know why they've never studied it? Because they don't need to, because they're right. No, you're not God. God doesn't think like you. God doesn't believe like you. And it's so written down, like he wrote down what he believes. But you don't need to read it. You don't need to study it. That's arrogance. So what does it say in Hosea 4, verse 6? He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know why our churches are the way they are and our nations the way we are? It's because we are completely, totally ignorant of the Word of God. Completely, totally ignorant. You say, well, everybody else says, no, we are. I used to think I knew the Bible really well until I started reading the Puritans. And there was a book my wife got me. And I remember a preacher, one of the most powerful preachers I've ever heard, said he learned more in the first 13 pages of that book than he did in the first 13 years he was a Christian. And I was like, well, he's a different denomination, so he's ignorant. And I started reading the book. And I'm going to be honest with you. I have read the Bible almost every single day since I was 11, 12 years old. I've read through the Bible probably 20 times. Sometimes several times in a year. I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just saying. And I remember reading this book saying, I have no idea what the Bible says. He would tell stories as if everyone in his congregation knew it. And I had no idea what he was talking about, even though it was in the Bible. He would quote scriptures that I had never even read before, even though I'd read through the Bible 20 times. And I remember going, I don't even know I could have been a member in this man's church, much less a preacher. You see, I am ignorant of the Word of God. We do not know the Bible. If we did, you know what we'd see? We'd see another Pentecost. We would see our nation taken over like the Roman Empire was taken over. But the reason we don't see that is God's people are destroyed because they're ignorant. Notice what he says. He says, because you've rejected knowledge, I will reject you. Notice this, that you will not be a priest to me, seeing you have forgotten the law of your God. Notice what he says next. I will also forget your children. Have you ever asked the question, why does around 75 to 85% of all young people who are raised up in church don't attend church anywhere? Have you ever asked the question, why your own children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren don't go to church anywhere? Because we don't know the Bible. Let me tell you something about my generation. Because it's my generation that, by and large, isn't in church. We want real answers. And so when my generation asked our parents, what does the Bible say about homosexuality? And they got the answer, it's gross. They went and asked the world, and the world gave them a real answer. A wrong answer, but it was an answer nonetheless. When we began to ask, why is this wrong? Why would the loving God throw people into hell? We never got an answer. Except from liberal theologians who denied the Word of God. You know why we didn't get an answer? Because the people who were going to answer our questions didn't know the Bible. They did not know the Word of God. Just like the Jews, they were following their grandmother's religion. They were following tradition, and they did not follow the Word of God. That's just the reality. You can see it in verse 6. Why have the children walked away from the faith? Because their parents are ignorant of the Word of God. I know that hurts. I know that hurts. But you have to ask this question, is it true? God says it. So it's true. So what do we do? Well, turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. Should be a very, very familiar passage of Scripture to you. Verse 15. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. We're just going to read one word. You know what it says? Study. Now, I know that's a five-letter word, but for most people, that's a four-letter word. You mean I actually have to open the Bible and study what God has to say? Yes. If you paid attention in English class, what is the word study? It's an imperative. That means it's a command. That means you are commanded to study the Bible. Now, can we stop and look at the context? Who is Paul commanding to study the Bible? Timothy. Who is Timothy? Someone that knows the Bible better than anyone in this room. You know what he was commanded to do? Study. If Timothy was not exempt from study, what makes you think you are? You see, every single one of us is commanded to study the Bible. We are commanded to study the Word of God. That is a command. Not to keep forcing for traditions and the way things used to be. You know, I hear so often from so many different people in so many different churches, well, I just wish we'd go back to such and such. We've never done it that way before. Maybe you've always been wrong. Has that ever clicked? You do? Oh, no. It's biblical. That's what the Jews said when they crucified Jesus. Think about that for a minute. They said it's biblical when they crucified Jesus. And that's why when they came to faith in Christ, what did they do? The very first thing they did is they went back and studied the Bible. Isn't that what Jesus had commanded the Pharisees to do? He said, go search the Scriptures, for that's they which testify of me. He told Bible scholars, you need to go back and read the Bible again. Why? Because they missed it. Oh, that's them. I didn't miss it. Again, the reason you're ignorant is because you're arrogant. You know, to do sports, have you ever seen a football team that gets like blown out? Okay, and they get blown out. You know how you get better? You go home and you study the film and you study the other team so that you can be better the next time. You know what we do? We get blown out and go home. What happened? I don't know. It couldn't possibly be that we're ignorant or wrong. That's what the church has been doing for the last 40 years in our culture, if you haven't noticed that. And then abortion. Well, can't be our problem. It's got to be somebody else's. Marriage is falling apart. Well, it can't be our problem. It's got to be somebody else's. All the sexual immorality. Well, it can't be our problem. It's got to be somebody else's. Didn't Jesus say, get the beam out of your own eye? We are commanded to study. Study the Word of God. We have to study it for ourselves. Paul commends the Bereans. Why? Because the Bereans didn't go, wow, that was a good sermon, Paul. They went home and actually saw if what he said was in Scripture. I've told y'all for years, and I'll say it again. If you can show me where I'm wrong from Scripture, I will stand up and publicly apologize next week. And I'm not saying that in arrogance. I'm saying that in I want to study and show know where I'm wrong. I'm not saying that in arrogance. Because you know what Baptists do? I can't believe the preacher said that. Well, can you show me a Bible verse where it's wrong? I know the Bible. What are you talking about? I'm actually talking about the Bible. Can you show me in the Bible? I'm not saying this in arrogance. I'm just saying this is the reality. I've had people get mad at me at things I've said. And I've said, okay, well, what does this passage mean? Well, I don't know what it means. Well, then how do you know I'm wrong? If you've never studied it. This happens all the time. And I could name off theological issues, but I don't want to chase those rabbits. Where, I remember one man telling me, he didn't go to my church anymore, and he said this. He said, well, I don't know what it is, and I've never studied it, but I think you're wrong. If you don't know what it is, and you never studied it, how can you know anything about it? We are commanded to study. Study. Now notice what he says next. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Approved. Let me tell you a misconception Christians have. Church people have. Our society has. And that's this. We have this idea that the final exam when you stand before God at the day of judgment, the Apostle Paul, he got like a 99 A+. He's pretty good. But you know what? If I get like a 61 D-, I'm good too. That's the way we live. But the exams pass-fail. You understand that? the exam is pass-fail. Do you understand that? This is not study so you get a better grade. This is study so you don't fail. Now turn over one page to the left. One page. This is 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and read verse 16. Notice what Paul tells Timothy. Now this is Timothy. This is Timothy who learned the Bible from his mother and his grandmother and from a child knew Scripture. This is one of Paul's personal disciples, and notice what he tells him in 1 Timothy 4 verse 16. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. What is he saying? Keep studying the Bible. Keep studying the Bible. Keep studying doctrine. Keep studying doctrine. For in doing this, doing what? Studying doctrine. You will both save yourself. I thought Timothy was already saved. Why would he tell him to continue studying to save himself? I thought once you were saved, you were always saved. I thought you couldn't lose your salvation. What is he talking about? You know, I remember hearing Leonard Ravenhill talk about a pastor friend of his who was a very famous preacher. He wouldn't say his name. Who finally retired. And Leonard Ravenhill's like me. He didn't believe in retirement for preachers. Okay, what are you going to do? Go play golf? I mean, really, like, what are you going to do? You're called to preach the gospel and you're going to quit to go fishing? So Leonard Ravenhill called his friend up and was like, what are you doing? You don't retire from the ministry. You preach until you die. And this is what the man told him. He said, I'm going to go spend the last several years of my life making sure I'm ready to meet God. And I remember going, well, you should have figured that out before you started preaching. And then I started reading the Bible and realizing that man was more wise than any of us. You only get one chance before God's throne. You only get one chance. You better get it right. He said, I believe in Jesus. So do the devils in hell. That's in Scripture. Well, I believe in grace. You know, the other day I was at my in-laws and two Mormons knocked on my door. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm a Christian. Oh, so are we. I said, no, I believe in salvation by grace. And you know what they said? So do we. Is it any wonder that one of the number one groups of people that get sucked into cults are evangelical conservatives, Baptists? You know why? Because we see nice-looking families and nice-looking people who say, I believe in Jesus, I believe the Bible, I believe in salvation by grace, I believe in Jesus Christ. And we go, oh, that's what I believe. And we are so ignorant of Scripture, we have no idea how to discern truth from error. We can't rightly divide the truth. We have no idea how to answer their questions. And you know what we do? We follow them right into error. You know what Paul tells Timothy? You see, Paul knew of Judas. We're going to talk about Judas tonight. Everybody thought Judas was right with God, didn't they? And at the end of the day, even Judas, who thought he was right with God, betrayed Jesus Christ. Oh, but I'm not Judas. Can I tell you something very interesting? And again, this goes back to studying the Scripture. When Jesus said, one of you will betray me, what did everyone say? Is it me? Everyone said that except one person. Who was it? It wasn't Judas. Judas said, is it me? It was Peter. And Peter said, I will never deny you. And who denied Jesus? Peter. Why? Because he was arrogant and thought he was right. Think about that for a minute. You say, not me. I would never get caught up in error. Okay, Peter. Let's just wait till the rooster crows in the morning. You see, you need to study to save your very soul. I want you to turn over a couple pages to the right. Turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to show you something else very interesting. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 18. Because I want you to get how serious this is. 1 Peter chapter 4. Well, we'll go back and read verse 17. For the time has come, 1 Peter 4:17, that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And notice what he says in verse 18. And if the righteous, notice what he says, scarcely be saved. Okay, again, let's put that in Southern English. By the skin of their teeth, make it through. If the Apostle Paul made it through by the skin of his teeth, what does that mean for you? That means you need to be studying. Go back to 2 Timothy with me. Why do you need to be studying? Because it is a pass-fail exam. This is not like the driver's test where you can come back tomorrow and try again. When you die and stand before God's throne, you get one chance. You get one shot. You better not blow it. And you better spend the rest of your life making sure you're ready to pass that exam. Notice what he says. I love this. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. What does he mean, a workman needs not to be ashamed? Yeah, my wife probably doesn't even know this, but one of my most embarrassing moments with my wife is when we went to visit my grandmother. I can't remember if we were engaged, and I think it was my brother was getting married, and we stopped there. And my grandmother's house, it was two-story, in the basement, and going down, that the roof kind of sloped, and then right at eye level, it kind of had a little flat spot. And right at eye level, there's three paintings, one by me, one by my brother James, and one by my brother Robert. And I painted that painting when I was about 8 or 9 years old. And you kind of forget about those things. And I remember, you know, I'm trying to, you know, hey, I think we were engaged going to my brother's wedding. And I remember we started to go down the stairs in the basement. And right there, boom. And it's got D. Kendall in this horrible handwriting that you can barely read. And I'm kind of going like, let's go faster downstairs. So she doesn't see it. But she goes, oh, did you paint that? And I'm like, yes. Why? Because I'm embarrassed. You know why? Because it looks like an 8-year-old painted it. Let me ask you this. Your knowledge of the Word of God, your knowledge of Jesus Christ, when you stand before God, is it going to look like a 4-year-old with a box of crayons? Think about that for a minute. Think about it for a minute. Think about what you knew about God's Word 5 years ago, 10 years ago. What is it going to look like when you stand before God? Because I remember looking at that picture going, I wish I could take it down and paint another one to go in its place. And you know what I want to do 5 years from now? Take that one down and put another one in its place. Why? Because I don't paint like an 8-year-old anymore. I still don't paint very good. But at the end of the day, I don't get into heaven based upon a painting. I get by through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's why I have to study to show myself approved, because I do not want to be standing before God and what I have to show for my life's work looks worse than a kindergartner with a box of crayons. Are you going to be embarrassed when you stand before God? You realize Paul and Peter and all the great heroes of the faith are going to be there. What's your excuse going to be? Well, you know, Paul, he had such a great advantage on us. He had only the Old Testament and no commentaries. Do you realize that sitting in most of your pockets or in your purse, you have access to more theological materials than the entire rest of human history combined? On your smartphone, you can access more commentaries than any of the church fathers ever had. In your own language. When my dad went to seminary, he had to learn German and he had to learn French so he could read the great theological works. You don't have to do that anymore. You can read them in English. And you can read them on your phone for free. What's your excuse going to be? What's your excuse going to be? I'm sorry, I couldn't understand the Bible. It was in King James English. You do realize that there are more translations in the English language of the Word of God than any other language in the world. Okay, if you can't read the King James, get the ESV. Okay, get the New King James. Go to the bookstore. I can't even name all the translations they have in our own language. What's your excuse going to be? You know, at least I have an excuse for my painting. I was 8. But when I stand before God, there is no excuse. There is no excuse. Some of you are 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years old. You've had the Bible in your own language your entire life. How much of it do you know? How much of God's Word do you know? You believe in salvation by grace. Show it to me in the Bible. You believe in the Trinity. Show it to me in the Bible. You believe in heaven. Show it to me in the Bible. You believe in hell. Show it to me in the Bible. You believe that Jesus was God. Show it to me in the Bible. You believe Jesus was man. Show it to me in the Bible. You believe in the virgin birth. Show it to me in the Bible. Can you? You better start studying. You better start studying. You see, much of this fault is not your own. Much of this fault is what I was taught in Bible college. You know what I was taught? Don't use words like regeneration, propitiation, sanctification, justification, even though they're in the Bible, because people won't be able to understand that, and you need to help them understand. And I remember going, that's stupid. Why would I want to dumb things down? Why don't I make the congregation smarter? Why don't I teach them what those words mean? And I want to commend you, because as a congregation, you all have grown tremendously in your knowledge of the Word of God. But you know what? We're still ignorant. We haven't arrived. We have a long way to go. But I want to commend you. I remember somebody coming to our church one time, and they afterwards, they thought they knew everything about the Bible, and they said, well, yeah, I think you and me were the only people in there that understood what you were preaching on. And then I remember going, no, you're used to watered-down preaching. I've had conversations with 8-year-olds that understood what I talked about this morning. Why? Because you're beginning to study and apply yourself to the Word of God. This isn't over your heads. This is simple stuff. This is simple stuff. There are a lot of things, like what we're going to talk about tonight, that may be over your head and over mine. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to study. Why? Because there's a final exam, and we don't want to be embarrassed. We want to be approved. We want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. We want to stand approved before God. And notice what he says lastly. He says, rightly dividing the word of truth. But preacher, doctrine divides. You bet it does. You bet it divides. It divides truth from error. It divides that what's good from that which is poison. It divides death from life. You do realize Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, I came to bring a sword. You do realize that the Word of God is a sharp two-edged sword. And we go, oh, okay, yeah. No, to divide the joints from the bones. To cut you to pieces. Why? Why? So that you can actually know what is true. Have you ever thought that maybe every preacher you've ever heard lied to you? How do you know if he was telling the truth? You start reading a commentary. How do you know he's telling you the truth? You listen to the radio. How do you know they're telling you the truth? You know what you do? You find out for yourself. Pick up the Bible and study it. Learn what is truth. Learn what is error. Because you know what happens? Exactly what Jesus said would happen is that there's going to come a day, and we're living in that day, when people will heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears, and all they want is their ears tickled. They have no desire to apply themselves to the Word of God. They have no desire to study the Word of God. They have no idea, no desire to discern truth from error. They just want to show up and spoon feed me, buddy. Show up and give me my bottle. That cannot be you. You must study the Word of God for yourself. You need to go home and begin to study the Bible for yourself. You believe in the Trinity? Why do you believe in the Trinity? You believe in salvation by grace? What is salvation? What is grace? You believe in salvation by faith? What is faith? You believe in salvation by faith in Jesus Christ? Who's Jesus? What's Christ? Can you answer these questions? Can you open the Word of God and show these questions? Because you see, what's going to happen is someday your child or your grandchild is going to come to you, and if they don't get an answer from you, they're going to get it from someone. And what does it say in Hosea 4? Why are the children lost? Because the parents and the grandparents are ignorant of the Word of God. A couple words of application very quickly. One, Paul says in Corinthians that no one can understand the things of God but the Spirit of God. If you are not born again, you will not be able to understand Scripture. Your primary concern in studying Scripture needs to be exactly what Paul told Timothy, and that is the salvation of your soul. Don't start studying Calvinism. Start studying what salvation by faith in Jesus Christ really is. And when you are born again, and you know you are born again, and you can show from Scripture how you know you are born again, how you know your sins are forgiven, how you know you are right with God, then continue the rest of your life studying the things of God. Continue to study. People say, I don't have time for it. Now, let me just tell you something. I used to love sports. I still enjoy them. But I used to be able to tell you every single player for Kentucky. I used to be able to tell you their stats. I used to be telling you their jersey numbers, what years, all of those things. And then I realized when I die and stand before God, God doesn't care. Woohoo! You can name everybody on the Florida Gators. And what does that matter? Oh, you watched every episode of fill in the blank. And what good does that do you? You can identify any song on the radio and tell me which artist sang it. And what good does that do your soul? You've read every book in whatever series. Let me tell you something. Preachers used to preach, and I don't necessarily agree with this, but they have a very valid point, against reading novels. You know why? There's a little word called amusement. You know what it means in Greek? Not thinking. And Americans spend most of their time not thinking. They don't study the Word of God. Listen, at the end of the day, what matters is how much you know of God's Word, how much you know of Jesus Christ, how much of His fruit you have borne, how much of His grace you have received, how much of His Spirit has lived in your life. At the end of the day, what matters is how much you know of Jesus Christ and His saving work. How much you understand what it means when He says it is finished. At the end of the day, that is what matters. That is what matters. So what do? We study. We study. Why? To show ourselves approved unto God. To be a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen.